Welcome back to the Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. Today, we're tackling something that touches everyone, almost everyone in some way, anxiety. About 40% of Gen Z say they always feel anxious. Pastor Rob and Lori came to talk to our youth leaders this last Saturday about anxiety and panic attacks. The older generation actually says that they're not far behind the statistic in some way areas. Even the boomers and elders statistically are more anxious than this
younger generation. Did you say boomers and elders?
Yes. Pastor Rob, what generation are you in?
I don't even want to talk about it, but I've never heard of the elders generation. That's a strange one.
That is a strange one. Well, maybe let's start at the top. The best question we can ask for this. Lori, would you be able to touch on what anxiety is?
Thanks, Sam. Sure. I can give you sort of an official definition to start with. Anxiety is a natural emotional and physiological response to stress, uncertainty, or perceived danger. It typically involves feelings of worry, nervousness, or unease, and anxiety becomes a problem when a person's response is out of proportion to the situation and disrupts normal functioning. So that kind of gives you
That sounds like a very counseling, masters in counseling kind of response.
It's kind of, So that's like the clinical thing.
Let me give a little biblical. I think as we've talked about this, Sam, Lori and I have come at this practically and biblically, and both are important. Obviously, the Bible is applicable. Lori, I liked your definition. The shift I would make is to make it a biblical definition. Anxiety is a troubled or divided heart that is burdened by fear, uncertainty, or concern, and it's tempted to shift trust, faith, from God's character and promises to circumstances, self, or imagined outcomes. So it's in this sense, a lack of faith. Now, the only caution I would give from my end, and Lori's going to cover some of the practical things, but as we define this, I would just say we have to acknowledge there's a difference between the brain and what's going on in our brains and the mind, the brain being physical, the mind being something that we can take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Mm. And I think a lot of the problems we're having with anxiety in this day and age is patterned by things happening in the mind. Mm. But we have to also acknowledge, and Lord would be the expert on this, not me, but we have to acknowledge that there's also some things that are physical, and those sort of things will need to be medicated. Those sort of things will need help in different ways. So I think we're going to focus most on how to help people who are struggling with the mind part of this and people of faith. And I think we want to kind of break it up into three ways, Sam, if that's okay with you. I'll do more of the theological, Lori will do the practical, and then maybe if I can lay some foundations in terms of if you want to live an anxious-free life in the midst of what is catastrophically chaotic in our world and creating anxiety, as a male or female, how do you do that? How do you lay that foundation?
Perfect. Well, why don't we just go right back to you then, Pastor Rob? Why don't you teach us about what does the Bible say about anxiety?
Well, the Bible actually commands us not to be anxious. So it's affirming that anxiety is real. It's a part of the fallen world, but there's this command, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. Or Matthew 6, where Jesus is so clear, listen, don't be anxious. And those commands we need to be aware of in the real world that we live in, first of all, to acknowledge that we are going to struggle with anxiety. And secondly, if we can understand the greatness of who God is, and if we can live our lives conscious of his presence as those he treasures, then anxiety is something that we can constantly be growing to avoid and kill. And as we did the time with your youth, and that was a really, well, I guess as your youth leaders, it was, Lori and I both talked about this, Sam. We have so appreciated the ministry you have and the constant issues that these youth are going through. And it was really good to sit down with your youth leaders and to try to teach them how to handle this. So I have what I call a 4P response. You know that I like acrostics and acronyms. A 4P response in terms of, okay, listen, if we've truly been told in the Bible that we're to have peace, and I love Isaiah 26, verse 3. I had Lori read it for us, but this peace, the shalom that God gives us as our minds are stayed on him, if we're to have this kind of peace, how can we get it, or how can we help others get it if it comes at us? So I want to start theological, and then Lori will go, okay, if you're overwhelmed, your mind can't work, she'll kind of address some more practical. But the first thing that the Bible is very clear on, when we feel anxious or when we're facing anxious circumstances, pray. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5 is so clear on this as well. Cast your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. There's a sense that if we live conscious of who God is, then the immediate thing we should do when we start feeling anxious is present what we're anxious about to God. Name it, and then realize the reality of who God is and take it to Him immediately. Pray. Secondly, preach. This means just speak to yourself. Preach the gospel to yourself at all times. I know we talk about that. In Philippians 4, so we quoted Philippians 4 in terms of do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, present your request to God. Now, if we go to verse 8, whatever's true, whatever's good, there's this list of things that are wonderful. Think of such things. Or I suppose how I would say it a different way if I was to kind of follow Martin Lloyd-Jones, he would say the number one problem for depression, I would say the number one problem for anxiety, don't just listen to yourself, but learn to speak to yourself. Don't just be aware of your fleeting thoughts or what's going on that's creating the anxiety, the future that's you're insecure about, or the present circumstances that are creating you to feel trembly. But take what God has said and take the word of God, the gospel, the reality of who God is and what God has done for you, and share those things with yourself. In other words, learn to teach yourself the word of God. Know it so well, let the word of God dwell in you richly, and then actually take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. One of my favorite places to go there would be Matthew 6, where I call it sparrowology, but you're saying, okay, if God actually cares enough about sparrows, is sovereign over sparrows, and because he takes care of them, now I'm more valuable than those sparrows, I don't need to be anxious about anything. So you're bringing God into the circumstance, and you're aware of your fleeting thoughts, you're aware of your what we call real thoughts or conscious thoughts, and then you're taking the word of God and you're teaching yourself, your mind, your conscious mind, how to do that. So pray, preach. The third thing is presence. This is really the Isaiah 26 verse 3. You could go Isaiah 41 verse 10, but this is your mind is stayed on him, or he is with you, so you don't need to fear. It's the idea that God is with us always. I send out emails. You know this is one of my greatest passions, but 1 Chronicles 16:11, this idea that we need to seek passionately his presence and power, or Psalm 16:8, this awareness of who he is. Listen, if God, the God of the Bible, is with us and God is sovereign, God is good, God is all wise, God loves you, if this God is with you and for you, then there is no one or nothing that you ever need to fear. And the future is not only sure, it's secure. It's in his sovereign care. I think this is so important. Laura used to say, the safest place to be is in the will of God. It's a Corrie ten Boom quote. And it's so powerful and true. And there's a lady that went through so much, but was aware of God's presence. Peace, peace, shalom, shalom, a sense of wellness, whose mind is stayed on you, whose mind is aware, conscious of your presence. And then the last one is peace. So pray, preach, presence, peace, for peace. If you're helping someone else, I put it that way so you can remember them, but just a calm awareness of God, and then a peace that overwhelms, peace with God, but then also a peace in the circumstances you're in because you are doing those other things. You're taking your concerns to God. You're aware of what the Word of God teaches about it. You're preaching that to yourself. You're conscious of His presence and becoming more and more moment by moment conscious of His presence. And then that peace that He commands you to have, that He actually offers to you. I love John 14, where that theme really comes up over and over again. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble in the world. There's going to be trouble right away. The gospel is happening before their eyes, the death and resurrection of Jesus. And that's coming so quickly. Like they're in the throes of that. And he offers them peace with him and peace in the midst of all of life. So I suppose ultimately we would just say, listen, God is real. God is relevant to every situation. And God is relational and cares for you. It's interesting when you look at how the world deals with stuff. And Lord is going to give us some of those tools. But the Mayo Clinic would say it's a battle for the mind. And we would say, yeah, it's a battle for faith. It's a spiritual warfare. It's a taking to God any concerns that we have and a fixating on Jesus and who he is and what he's done for us to accomplish that. So very simply, if you're helping someone struggling with anxiety, pray, preach, presence, peace.
Wow. You are very good at acronyms. You must be good at puzzles. Is that true?
No, but Lori is. So here's the
funny
thing.
You won't even help me.
Funny thing about puzzles. Now, Lori, that's a little strong. I happen to be colorblind. Do you know how hard puzzles are for colorblind people?
No, I don't know, actually.
Very hard. Yeah.
Edges work well.
Talk to me or Bob Austin and we'll tell you.
Well, I love what you said, and that is so practical for us all, too. I'm sure we can apply in some way one of those four P's, but the reality is for those who face anxiety, sometimes it is just such a challenging thing, and it manifests, I guess, in different ways. Mm-hmm. Lori, would you just be able to kind of walk us through what are some of those very, very practical steps we can take if we're somebody who is feeling very anxious? Mm.
Yeah, thanks so much, Sam. It's quite a journey to help somebody that's struggling like this, and it's such a good thing to have sort of thought through a little bit, because probably somebody in your life is going to at some point be anxious or go through some sort of a panic attack. So
I think that's true. If Sam's right, it's all of the Gen Zers, all of the elders. And what's your generation called again?
I think I'm a Gen Z.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Elias is probably a millennial. Elias, are you a millennial? Yeah, he thinks he's a millennial.
Elias is thinking he is, but I think he's older than that. Anyway, back to you, Laura.
Yeah.
I think everybody's going to struggle. I think that's what makes this so practical. Your helps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So track.
Yeah, it really does. Kind of leave people feeling a little helpless and unsure what to do if they haven't thought it through and if they don't have a little bit of training in it. So I'll try and simplify a little bit. There's lots of things that practically you can do, but I mean, we only have a certain amount of time, so I'm going to go through a few of them. So basically, when somebody is having a panic attack, which is really an extreme form of anxiety, it's not just emotional, it's physical, and it often blocks the mind, like Pastor Rob had said. So it's your body's fight or flight system misfiring, really. It's like your body turns into a super sensitive smoke alarm. It's great when there's a real fire, but sometimes it just goes off from burnt toast. So that's kind of what you're dealing with. So basically, your body is releasing a stress hormone like adrenaline, and your heart starts to beat faster, your breath gets quicker, your muscles tighten, and you might feel kind of sweaty or shaky. Mm. And your body's getting ready to fight, which would be like standing your ground to defend yourself, or flight, like taking off, like I'm running to safety. Mm. So if you're helping somebody through this, that's kind of gives you an idea of what they might be feeling. And then I'm just going to go into a few things that can kind of help that. So firstly, it's important to stay calm. I feel like this is one of the most important things you can do when you are trying to help somebody that's anxious. Your calm really helps to regulate the person's nervous system. It's really important and helpful to speak slowly and gently, keep your voice steady and reassuring, and to avoid panicking yourself. And that can be kind of hard because it is kind of scary, and it can be kind of unnerving for everybody in the room or whatever the situation is. So trying to avoid panicking yourself would be helpful. So just to remember that panic is contagious, and so is calm. Mm. So do your best to project to them you're safe right now. So. Secondly, I would say that if you can reassure without dismissing. So there's lots of ways to communicate to reassure people. But here's a few. You can reassure the person by sitting with them and hearing what they are expressing to you. Maybe try and reflect back to them what they're saying. Be an active listener by nodding and just getting down to their level. If they're sitting, make sure you're sitting, right? So don't stand over top of them. And you can really encourage them by sort of saying, like, I can really see how you feel that way. Mm. Like just words that are affirming and giving them some affirmation of what they're feeling. Mm-hmm. You can let them know this feels intense right now, but it will get better. And that just gives them that sort of degree of hope that they need. You can also say short things like this, like maybe you're safe right now. This will pass.
Like just calm down, right, Lori? I'm kidding.
That would be the dismissal part of it all.
That sounds like a husband.
You're overreacting.
Yeah, that's right. Just relax. You're fine. Telling an anxious person to relax, that's going to go well.
When we were doing this training, we said this is great husband training as well.
It is very good husband training. Laura, I think one of the things you've taught me as well is validation doesn't necessarily mean you agree. Mm-hmm. It just means you're joining them in what they're feeling. So the toast is causing the fire alarm to go off. You go back to your other illustration. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you're going, the house is coming down. It means, or going to burn down. It means, I can understand. I can feel with you. You're safe. I think that was helpful to me, because sometimes I felt when I reassured in the way that you're describing, I was actually affirming what they were feeling, which wasn't in line with reality.
Right.
But it's an affirmation of their feeling, not an affirmation of the reality that's causing
that's
the feeling.
That's right. That you're just with them in the moment and you're affirming where they're at.
Trying to get them to a place where they can maybe take some of those truths later on, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. You want to build some trust and you want to build some yeah. and kindness there.
Yeah, I really like what Sam just said. I think it's important, Lori, is you and I have been discussing how we partner do this. I think you can get them to the place where the word of God can actually mean something to them.
Yeah.
But when they're in this extreme panic, when they know the house is burning down because they smell the burnt toast or the fire alarm's going off, you need to get them to a place where they can actually hear the truth of God's word and the reality of the greatness of God.
Right.
And I think these tools really help.
Yeah, yeah. And doing these things well will definitely set the platform for them to be able to receive for sure. Okay, so another another thing that is really helpful when somebody's anxious or having some sort of an intense feelings with anxiety would be breathing techniques. That's one of the best things that you can know about and to help them with. There's a few different types of
Did we learn this when we had breathing. Children?
You were doing it before the podcast.
That's right.
Calm your nerves.
I showed this to the youth leaders, and then Lori went, nope, that's not the right one.
That's the wrong type of breathing, although that does help for birthing. But this type of breathing would be most effective. It's called the extended exhale. Mm. So basically, you would help the person to breathe because when they're in that state, their focus is not really acute at that moment, right? So they're focusing on other things, so you can help them to breathe. What I love the best, I feel, is to inhale through the nose for 4 seconds, and then you're going to pause for 2, and then you're going to exhale through your mouth for 6. And you'll notice, if you try it, which is kind of like a fun thing, you can just even try it now, is that when you exhale on number, like when you count like to the 5 and 6, you can literally feel your body relax.
Really funny. Yeah, we did this when we were teaching the youth leaders, and I've never done this before. Anxiety, I do the fight or flight thing once in a while, but anxiety is not a huge part of my life. But it was really interesting. I could actually feel myself relaxing as I followed Lori's direction. So maybe.
Yeah.
Hey, this might be a good one every night for Rob Lori.
There you go. We're going to do some breathing technique. Another one that you could do is...
I'm not coming to you for marriage counseling, Sam.
is called the box breathing, and that's just breathing into your nose and out through your mouth, sort of like in a box, like in, out, and then in, out again. And sometimes that can be stressful just because it's a lot of thinking. So
Do you count for that one as well, Laura?
Yeah, you can go 4.
4 in, 4 out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
4 in, hold for 4, 4 out. Mm-hmm. I'm just remembering what you thought.
Yeah, exactly. And if sometimes that gets a little confusing. Mm. And if somebody doesn't remember, even if you help them just go breathe in, breathe out. Mm. It just stops all you're really trying to do is calm the nervous system, which distracts from the anxiety or the trigger. So you're just trying to move them into a different space in their brain. Okay. So, and then another thing is if you find that the breathing isn't working for them at the moment, grounding them might be another option. And grounding means bringing their attention back to the present rather than focusing on what is causing them the stress or the trigger, and that's causing the panic. So, one of the things is you can try the 5-4-3-2-1 method, which just helps them think about something else. So you're really just triggering their brain into actually having to think about something else than what their body is feeling and what their body is reacting to from a trigger or from something that's stressful. So it's basically 5 things that you see, 4 things that you feel, 3 things you hear, 2 things you smell, and 1 thing you taste. So that's not you can adjust that. Mm-hmm. You can on the spot just sort of start thinking of something and helping them to say, hey, what's around us right now? Do you see this? Or, kind of guide them through that. And that'll just, get their mind onto something else. Other ways of grounding, if you have an opportunity to, which would be walking barefoot in grass or in sand, or cold water on the body on it. It just sort of almost like shocks that system.
So Sam, this is not in the husband training.
Don't throw water.
This wasn't in my pre-marital counseling.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it does help get the brain out of that panic cycle is kinda what you're trying to do.
Shocks the brain or distracts the brain.
Distracts, yeah, for sure, and shocks. So yeah, and finally, it's important to just let the panic run its course. Most panic attacks peak at 10 minutes and they last about 20 to 30. They are frightening and it can be very uncomfortable for them, obviously, but generally not overly dangerous. Mm. So there is times where that is true, but generally it's just going to run its course. So don't rush them.
Just be present and just patient.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's exactly right. Panic peaks and then it fades. Mm. So you can stay with them and just remind them of that. And just to remember that your presence with them is super powerful because just being there and working with them through this is just going to build not only rapport, but then also give you a chance maybe to pray and move on to the spiritual part that they need.
Using the four P's.
Yep.
So you almost can guide them into those once you get them distracted or at least at peace.
Calm down.
And I think one of the things you've reminded me, because I tend to move quicker than most other people.
Maybe you need to do some of that breathing.
Yeah. Laura always makes fun of me when I'm listening to podcasts. I'm always at like double speed. So I hope you slow this one down to half so you're listening very carefully. But no, I think once you've taken the time to do those things, if somebody's truly suffering, you call them panic attacks, right, Laura?
Yeah.
It allows them then to go and then take them to the four P's, which allows you to bring God and God's word into a situation and the reality of what he can do in you and through you to accomplish that.
Mm-hmm. And it might not be right that day, but it might be
later on.
Yeah. So depending how they're feeling, because it's exhausting after this happens.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. It's timing.
Yeah.
It's exhausting for the helper too sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well, now that we've kind of talked about the overall scope of how you can hopefully make steps to improve your anxiety, we've talked about in the present moment, what are some immediate things you can do when a panic attack occurs. Pastor Rob, would you like to touch on maybe long-term, if you're an anxious person, how you can build a good foundation to start to work on some of those things?
Yeah, so we cover these a lot as a church family, but really it's about intimacy with Jesus or growing in your faith. And so I'm going to walk you through very quickly the Grace Keystone Habits of Growth.
The six P's.
No, this is Grace. It's an acrostic. Close. We've already done the four P's. If you can do an acrostic, hopefully it helps you remember. Hopefully it helps you get mocked by your staff. Yeah, we're spelling grace. So G-R-A-C-E. That's how you spell grace, Sam. So, and Lori, that's how we live grace.
Yes, absolutely.
So the first is, and again, you'll remember these. We teach these all the time at Cloverdale Baptist. But what you're trying to do is build a life of faith, build a life of intimacy with Jesus so that when the brokenness of life hits you, you can consider it pure joy. You can not be anxious. You can truly experience the peace that transcends understanding, meaning in that circumstance, you shouldn't have peace. Like the disciples, when they're traveling in the boat and Jesus, it's a storm, blows up. These are fishermen. They know what the storm is and they're panicking and they're rightly panicking if Jesus isn't with them. And it's interesting when Jesus, you know, peace be still, the storm comes. They're now panicked over Jesus. That's a right thing to panic over. Who is this that even the winds of the storms obey him? And it's interesting to me that Jesus then turns to him and says, oh, you have little faith. So what we're trying to do is build our faith so that when the storms come, because they will, there will be a peace in us that can transcend that circumstance. So if you're helping someone, which is really what this is all about, or if you're trying to build this resistance to anxiety, these are really essential. And again, the you're helping someone, the four P's, that's your biblical response. Lori's help in terms of, you know, when the panic attacks hit, here's how you can settle down so you can get those four P's into you. Now, this is even a step further back saying, okay, this is the kind of person you want to become. Then you need to be doing these things. A keystone habit is a habit that shapes everything else. Mm. So the first G, gospel orientation. Really simply put, preach the gospel to yourself every day. Keep the gospel central to everything so that the love of Christ is compelling you, or there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, or the power of the gospel is something you experience. So let the gospel continually and constantly shape how you think, how you feel, how you respond in every situation. Keep the gospel central to everything.
Is there a practical step? Maybe a listener can apply that right now. Or when you do it?
Yeah. So when I do it, it depends on the day. But for me, I try to start my day when I'm praying in confession and repentance. And sometimes you can be overwhelmed by your sins and the holiness of God, which is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But for me, I can go right away then to Romans 8 verse 1. So if you looked at my journal, you'd see an 8:1. I don't put Romans,
so
but just
scripture.
An 8:1. Yeah. And you're reminding yourself, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm not condemned.
No guilt.
There's no guilt. There's no shame. Or if I'm feeling apathetic, I don't really feel like pursuing God like I should. The love of Christ, which is seen always biblically in the gospel most centrally, the love of Christ controls me, compels me, drives me. Or if you're having trouble forgiving someone, then you're overwhelmed. Matthew 18, you're just overwhelmed with the forgiveness of your own sins, billions, so you can forgive others, thousands.
Sounds like you're applying one of the four P's, the preach.
100%, 100%. Gospel orientation is preaching the gospel to yourself every day.
Love it.
So, but I think it's conscious that you need to do this, not even only in the midst of the panic or anxiety, but you need to do this all the time because then you're building a reservoir of strength so that when the devil accuses you or you sin and make mistakes, you're a person who has this so core to who you are that the gospel shapes how you feel. So you're in a circumstance that's, if we're doing anxiety, you're in a circumstance that's just overwhelming. And all of a sudden I go, no, I know how much I mean it. Romans 8, I know that Jesus died. I know he's good. I know what God has done for me. I know nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ. I know these things so strongly that there can be a peace that transcends the circumstance because I have the gospel as a central part of who I am. I'm gospel oriented.
Love it.
G. Second, and they're tied together. They're all tied together, funny enough, but R, because that's how we spell grace. Remember, it's an acrostic. Rooted in
G-R.
God's word. Yeah, R. Rooted in God's word. We talk about this enough that for the sake of time, I'm just going to say this. To be someone who is godly, you must, or if we're using it in terms of anxiety, to be someone who's anxiety-free or as close to we can get that as humanly possible, you must have the word of God dwelling in you richly. Mm-hmm. You must know who God is. When you go to Matthew 6 and you look at that command not to be anxious, it is grounded in who God is, sovereignty of God, the goodness of God, it's grounded in his love for us, the value. So when we ground ourselves in the word of God, when we're truly word saturated, again, it will control our thinking. It's interesting when it talks about demonic attack, and demonic attack for sure includes anxiety. The best way to fight, according to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, we're not unaware of the devil's schemes, this accusations, confusions, distractions, those sorts of things. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Well, the only way you can do that is if you're rooted in God's word. So gospel-oriented, rooted in God's word. A, active in prayer. This is about practicing the presence of God. And we've already talked about this enough, so I'll kind of lead with that. But just be aware of God's presence all of the time. Try to be conscious of God's presence. This is a Jerry Bridges help for me. He said that revival comes, or true revival comes, when God's people are conscious of his presence. If we're conscious of his presence, then we can be courageous anytime. You know, if you're facing a giant, you're facing Goliath, and you don't remember that God is with you, then that will be overwhelming and you should be anxious because he has a sword and you have two stones. But if God is with you, my goodness, that giant is nothing. That's, you know, you go to Numbers and you see the people entering into the promised land and we're like grasshoppers in their eyes. But two of them said, what are you guys doing? We got God with us. So it's this consciousness of God's presence. And that will lead to not only in terms of the overall passionate pursuit of this active and prayer conscious of God's presence, but now you're actively depending on him, which is, you know, the First Peter 5 and the Philippians 4 dealing with anxiety. But this is now again laying the framework that you can always be confident. All right. G-R-A-C. We are Christ's ambassadors.
Your favorite word recently.
Recently I like it. We're moving from consumers to ambassadors. Church passion. I think here—
Plug your article really quickly.
Yeah, plug my article on TGC Canada. The idea here is that we represent Jesus in every sphere of life so that now these circumstances that before might have created incredible anxiety become opportunities to display the greatness and glory of God. Mm. We represent God to the church. We represent God to the world. We become those who literally are his hands and feet. That used to bother me a little bit when people said that because it's kind of like, oh, come on, like that's, it's just kind of silly. But I actually think now it's true. Mm. We are God's representatives. It's as if God were, this is 2 Corinthians 5, it's as if God is making his appeal through us. So when you start to build that into your life, okay, I'm here to represent Jesus. The pain comes. Okay, that's going to conform me to Christ. That's James 1, right? I can consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. It develops the character. Or this is an opportunity to show the community around me that when a Christian suffers, they suffer with hope. 1 Peter 3:15, now I can show the reason for the hope that I have. And they were suffering under Nero. Or, I mean, you build this in that now everything that happens to you becomes an opportunity and you're not a victim. Mm. You're a conqueror in Christ. You're someone who's representing him. So Christ ambassador. So G-R-A-C.
E.
E. Engaged in first love devotion. This is a reminder that we live relationally. The reason that I put this one down as one of the keystone habits of growth is because it's very easy to become those who live religious lives that are not, or I would say devoid of relationship, if you wanted to use good language. It's easy to become like the church in Ephesus, such a great church, planted by great people. I mean, this is planted by Paul, pastored by John, for sure Timothy. I mean, this Mary, the mother of Jesus, went to this church. This is an amazing church. They're doing so many things right. Mm. And then as Jesus is walking among the churches and he turns to them in Revelation and he says to them, yet I have this against you, you've forsaken your first love. This is so important for us. So as we build these keystone habits of grace, it's essential that we do so in his grace and in an intimate relationship with him that's growing the intimacy of that relationship. So we're not becoming better Christians, we're becoming more intimate with the Savior, which makes us better Christians, I suppose, but Christians here, followers of Christ. So if we can build these keystone habits into our life, what will happen is when the circumstances of life are overwhelming, you won't need to use Lori's tools nearly as much because you'll have a foundation that is full. Mm. And if you help others build these keystone habits, in other words, you're now a people helper, you're now an ambassador, not just one who's receiving, then they will become people who not only will experience less anxiety, but also those who can help others as they experience their anxiety.
Again, maybe this grace tool when we're walking through somebody is maybe a good conversation after that panic attack has passed. Correct?
I think for sure. Yeah. So the four P's are what you initially go through. I think what you're trying to do in an overall life of discipleship. So actually, let me back up a little bit. Say, Lori, your helps. Mm-hmm. Maybe we need to come up with an acrostic for those.
I'm sure you'll find one for me. Help me out. Yeah.
But I think you're trying to get to the person, especially if they're in a panic attack. If it's just anxiety, maybe you can go to the four P's right away. But using Lori's tools. But once you get everything settled and you're kind of reestablishing a normal life, it is essential that you build an intimacy with God that overflows. And that intimacy with God will create a life that has a lot less opportunity of becoming anxious.
So maybe this is a good thing. We can, as we're walking through that path of anxiety, of growth, we can check in on, hey, how's your first love going this week? How's your, how are you word saturated this week? Those kind of things.
Yeah, you're building back into them the ability to be one who God keeps in perfect peace. You know, we've quoted Isaiah 26, verse 3. I just want to read it to you because once you have this kind of intimacy with God, Isaiah 26, it's right in the middle of chaos. There's judgment from God. There's chaos happening all around. It's right in the middle of this incredible turmoil because they've chosen sin and not the Savior. Mm. And right in the midst of that, you keep him in perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. It's just literally in Hebrew, peace, peace. Whose mind is stayed on you. Shalom, by the way, more than just a sense of calmness, but a wholeness. Everything is okay. Whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So when you talk about the four P's, Lori's tools helping you get to the place where you can build this intimacy with God. When we, and verse 4, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock, when we get to the point where our minds are focused, fixated on him, where we're growing in intimacy and depth, then we can respond to life as helpers, not herders. I suppose we will still feel pain. But that anxiety can be turned into a tool to show others the hope that we have. So I think what we're trying to do in this podcast, people helping, but I think, as you said, even the elders, I'm not sure what generation that is, but so really probably everybody we're talking to at some point in their lives is going to need these tools for themselves. And also, if they're ambassadors, need these tools to help someone else.
Mm. Well, that is so helpful. Thank you both for just these tools that you have given us in our toolbox. Maybe for each of you, could you just give me one thing if you were somebody struggling with anxiety, that a practical thing I could start doing today to improve on that.
Right. One thing, that's hard. I would say practically one of the things that would be just changing your breathing just to help you get through that, distracting yourself from whatever you're struggling with, wherever those emotions are coming from. If you can kind of pinpoint that does help, and then point to Jesus. Mm.
Yeah, you took mine.
Sorry, that's more fine. Than one.
Yeah, you can't take grace or the four P's. You got to pick one thing.
You stay away from the spiritual stuff, yeah. Lori.
Sorry.
I love that, Lori. I agree with both of those. I would say if I was to just give one thing, Sam, somebody's really struggling with anxiety and it's a consistent pattern. They're not in the midst of what Lori's helped with, but they just feel anxious all the time. I would just say take one anxious thought, just one. Like capture it, whether it's a fleeting thought or a conscious thought. Capture it. And replace it with a truth from Scripture. And once you get that and just memorize that Scripture, replace it with that Scripture. So let's say you're anxious about the future. Then you go to Matthew 6 and you know who holds the future. If you're anxious about, so you just fill in the blank. Find one Scripture. And Sam, you can help them with that. So they can email you and you'll help. Or I can, or Laura can. But yeah, I would just say simple, just simplify. Take one anxious thought, replace it with one truth found in Scripture or a fixation of one attribute of God that will solve that.
I think that is mm-hmm. so big too, because even as I was looking at the different generations, different questions were hitting anxiety different. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Well, thank you for all you guys have given us today. I just want to say, if you've made it to the end of the podcast, you have homework. You got to send this to somebody that this may be helpful for.
That's a good mm-hmm. idea.
So, yeah. Pastor Rob, who are you going to send this podcast to?
Lori.
Okay, Lori, who are you going to send this podcast to?
Elias.
No, I actually, you know what? That's a good challenge. So I'm going to send it to the elders.
Sounds good. Alrighty. Well, pass it on to somebody that this could be a helpful tool for this week.
Hey, before we go, can Lori just read Isaiah 26, verse 3 for us?
That'd
just
be a great
as a reminder.
Way to close. Yep.
You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you,